For tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Thursday evening, November the 23rd, Thanksgiving Day. First service of the Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. I doubt if anybody here has ever met Reggie before. Irma and I just met him yesterday, but we've heard lots about he and his wife, Patricia, and had a lot of their tapes over here. They've got a church over in southwestern Mississippi. Near Baton Rouge, closer to Baton Rouge, southwestern Mississippi. They've been there since 1972, I guess.
74,
getting close.
Yeah.
And the Lord's been moving mightily and teaching them things about deliverance and the kingdom, and we've just invited them to come over here and share with us. And so this evening, why, Reggie's going to minister to us whatever the Lord's giving this evening.
Amen.
Blessings on.
Thank you, brother. I wonder if I could pray for you and Sister Armour. I feel I need to do that before I can preach. It's kind of like Moses' hands, you know. If we can't lift them up, nobody moves.
Got your track shoes on?
Yeah. We're going to wait for his better half. One of my better half, but come on, let's pray. Hallelujah.
Praise,
praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this night. Lord, we thank you for the vision that you gave my brother. We thank you that it's being fulfilled, Lord, and even tonight it will be more fulfilled. And Father, as we come to you with humble hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my brother. I lift up his hands tonight. My brother, my sister, Brother Glenn, Sister Irma. Father, I thank you for their call, their dedication, their consecration, their willing to give all to the ministry. God, I see a love in their heart that passes understanding. God, I see a call on their lives that, Lord, I've never met anybody else with the same call. Father, I lift them up tonight, and I thank you that in the name of Jesus, God, that you'll honor the vision that you give him. Hallelujah. And I would like this word to be judged. I believe it's from God. My children, as I've called you even years ago, even as far back as 20 years ago, and begin to tell you what I want to be done through you, as you was obedient, though you didn't understand. You took those steps, and as you took those steps, you saw me work a few miracles. I worked a few miracles, and I've brought you up to this day. But my children, let me tell you this, that it's just the beginning of what's going to reach the whole world, and as you've seen it reach out, what you haven't seen yet is the whole world to come in to begin to listen at the teachings and the ministry that I've placed y'all in. You will begin to see this happen even as this new year arrives. You will begin to see people from all across the waters come who have never got help before. They will receive help because of the ministry that I placed you in. And that this campground will begin to grow. And even as the world and the ways of the world and the wicked one has had his way in this town in years past, I'm going to have my way in the years to come. As I begin to prepare my people for my return, I will prepare them even here, as I have no other place like this. This place will begin to be too small, and you will have to reach out even more so, to reach out more than you ever thought. And my son, let me tell you this, as you've known people in the past who have traveled all across the land to have a good job, in the days to come, they will travel here to hear the good word. And they will live here, says the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I never thought of that people travel. Many of them have jobs and they travel to prepare for their families. But I believe the day is coming that people will travel to do what's more important than anything else. And that's to hear the word of God. I think that you can touch the mark of the beast with your elbow. Say, I'm a little strange. I believe if we have not begun to be in the tribulation, we are right at it. I'm just that peculiar. I believe that when I was in college in 1972, that I saw many ministers stand behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God so great and so powerful that though we was in the same classrooms, I said, Lord, I wished I could preach as good as that brother. I wished I had the same anointing as that brother. I wished I had the same strength as that brother and the same knowledge and the love that he has. But to my amazement, as I began to check up on those brothers that I looked up to who was in the same classrooms that I was in when I was in college, I understand that they not only are not preaching, but they're no longer serving the Lord. That's surprising to me. That preachers in these last days are falling from the power of God and going back into the world. I'm not talking about people out there that's sitting in the congregation. I'm talking about people that at one time claimed that they was carrying the good gospel of Christ and saw people moved by the Spirit of the Lord. I see something that I've never seen before. I see the powers of darkness begin to work harder than ever before, and they attack it in every way they can, trying to stop the move of God, trying to stop the power of God, trying to stop people from being ready to meet the coming of the Lord. And I believe the Lord is getting the people ready. And I believe that He is establishing a people in this day. But what has happened is that as we grew up in the past, we figured the Lord would come back before times would get hard. But if the Lord was going to come back before times were going to get hard, He would have came back a few years ago for me. I've been through more than I've ever been through in the last few years of my life. In fact, tribulation hit me in 1982. That's when I began to preach the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we had a congregation and everybody but one person walked out the door. Because I told the people they had to get right. Without holiness, nobody could see God. The people didn't want to hear that. And everybody wants to hear a blab me and grab me prosperity message. And that is not what people need to hear. They need to know how to make it through the hard times. And very few people are making it through the hard times now. They're falling. And I believe that God is doing something we can't understand with a TV evangelist that used to be so strong. I don't know what's going on, but I believe what God is trying to tell us is that He's going to raise up something like you see right here. Something real. And He's getting the chaff out the way. God's raising up something real. But what I saw was people at one time ministering the Word of God have fallen away from God and back in the world. I'm saying doing things that they never done before, seven times worse than they ever were before. Ministers, my friends, that I room with, that we had prayer meetings in college together, have fallen from the grace of God. Many of you read the little thing that Corrie Ten Boom wrote, that everybody in China was taught that the Lord was going to come back before times would get hard. And she said that hard times came and nobody was really ready to stand, not able to stand. Nobody had the Word of God in them. And I'm concerned that in America, this is a Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful for this country. I want to be, if I can say it, respectful, and I want to be patriotic, and I'll honor the veterans. I thank God for everybody that's fought for this country. But what's sad is that many people worship the country, and the country has become their God. And they think that they're going to be in this country, this living in this country is going to be an automatic, easy way to float into heaven. But the greatest thing that could ever happen would be persecution would arise so strong that we'd be willing to die for God. That was separated right there. Where I live in Gloucester, I lived there all my life. I was born there. And now God has me ministering there. But if I walked the streets of Gloucester tonight, and everybody that I came up to, if I asked them if they were a Christian, I've talked to them before, every one of them would say yes. I live in Gloucester. Gloucester's a good town. And I haven't done much wrong. If anybody could go to heaven, I would. You know, everybody you meet is a Christian. But suppose something happened to our country this day, and we woke up in the morning, and the only way that you could really say you was a Christian would be willing to die. Wouldn't it be a difference? And do you believe that day's coming? I just believe that God's going to do something. I believe that the only people that's going to survive are those who have done what Brother Glenn and Sister Irma have, just given all to God. And they know how to live so easy as far as knowing how to conserve. They gather up the fragments and they use them. I mean, they use an air conditioner to cool, but at the same time heat the water. See, God's gave him that. And tonight I want to encourage you to lift up our brother Glenn and Sister Irma. And if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't be here, would you? Because God used them. And I just believe in giving a few flowers while we're still here, you know. I don't like to wait for them to die and say, oh, he was a good man. You know, Brother Glenn says he believes he's going to see the Lord set his kingdom up here before he dies in old age. And he's not that old, is he? But I believe the Lord is going to fulfill all things before we all just get too old. I could be wrong, but it's still worth serving God. Hallelujah. Now may I get to the message. All that was free. Wasn't in charge of anything. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Praise you. Lord, we love you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we pray that so many times and don't really know what we're praying. But the disciples then say, Lord, teach us how to cast out the demons. Teach us the correct way to lay hands on the sick. Teach us to raise the dead. The disciples knew where the prayer power was. It was in prayer. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Not necessary, you know, any form or fashion, but we need to pray. Teach us to pray. And then he gave us the model. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then in verse 10 says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And I used to think that was in the sweet by and by, but you know, the Lord wants his kingdom to come within us now. God wants his will to be done right now. In our lives right now. And that helps me to know. If somebody says, well, it's God's will for me to have this sickness or this cancer or this arthritis. God's will for me to have this affliction. I don't believe it's God's will for you to have it, or if it was, you would have it throughout eternity. And it's not God's will that you have the problem that you got tonight. The problem is that we have a group of ministers all across the land that are just floating around on a little fairy idea, and they just want to say, blab it and grab it, and you've got it, and all this, that, and the other, and it's not working. But I want something that works, and I tell you that God knows I want something that works, and God showed me that His Word does work. And that if we do what the Word says, we get results. No doubt about it. Says, Thy kingdom come. In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said, There be some of them that stand here, as he was speaking, which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom, have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And you know, my cross references take me right on to the day of Pentecost. You know, it was 500 that the Lord spoke to and says, Go to the upper room and pray that you'll be endued with power from on high, that my will be done. Over the period of time, 380 decide they need to go back home. See grandma and grandpa and go back home and eat Thanksgiving dinner with somebody else and do other things. 380 left, only 120 went into the upper room. But let me tell you something. We all need a 40-day convention. And every one of us need a 10-day prayer meeting. Which 40 and 10 makes 50, where we get Pentecost from. And through that day, in that upper room, the windows of heaven were open, the wind blew, the tongues of fire came in, and that 120 was filled with the mighty power, the mighty Spirit of the living God. But that 120 just didn't sit back in their rocking chair and say, I got it, brother. I got it. No, they went out into the streets of their own hometown first. And they begin to tell people about the Lord. Peter preached one sermon and 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, hardly no more than it's in this room tonight. Changed the world because they were willing to do what God told them to do. It don't take a lot of people to change this world. It just takes a few people willing to pay the price. I'm the same right now as I was 10 minutes ago. I don't put on my preacher's uniform and become a preacher and then take it off. I'm the same. That's the reason some people don't understand me. You know, sometimes I'm hilarious and sometimes I cry and what have you. But I don't try to put on a front. And that's what God's doing is getting hypocrisies out of our lives, and that we can be true and genuine. That the kingdom of God can be fulfilled through you. And Luke chapter 7, verse 28, among those that are born of women, there is not one born that was greater than John the Baptist, but he that is at least in the kingdom of God is even greater than John the Baptist. If you're born into the kingdom of God tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, John the Baptist was better, according to the Scriptures, than Elijah. John the Baptist was better than even Noah, or any of the rest of them. But we living in the greatest day that could ever be lived in, greater than even all the old-timey prophets. Though they seen the dead raised, though they saw the Red Sea split, though they saw all these miracles, we're going to see more if we wake up. God's trying to wake us up, and that's the purpose of the vision that God's given our brother here, Brother Glenn, to bring people into this vision. Bring people into what God wants to do in these last days. Not let the world rock the church to sleep, but praise God, let's ring the bell, blow the trumpet, and let's not be the dumb dog that can't bark or the blind watchman that can't see. Let's tell people that the Lord is ready for our people to wake up. And that the time is ready, and that God wants people ready to proclaim the gospel, for He's ready. God's ready. Hallelujah. I try to get on now. All right, in the prayer, verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12 is my message tonight. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And some translations say from the evil one. Deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 14 and verse 15 is also my message tonight. Verse 14, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Look at that now. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God only forgives our debts as we forgive our debtors. You're not forgiven until you have forgiven. And you'll say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the man, the woman, the boy, or the girl that did you wrong, that you still have a grudge against. God cannot bless you until you forgive that man, woman, boy, girl, mama, daddy, husband, uncle, aunt, sister, or what? We've got to forgive all. You'll say, well, I've never been hurt. Well, I need to sit down and let you get up here. You lived on another place than what I've lived on. I believe everyone here, if you're honest tonight, have been hurt. You've been let down even by ministers and preachers, by family, and by those who you love. I'm telling you, you've been hurt. You know you've been hurt. And the Bible says, if we forgive, we will be forgiven. If we do not forgive, neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us of our trespasses. Proverbs 24:10. Boy, we read that this morning. I don't know if you remembered it. Says, if thou faint in the day of thy adversary, your strength is small. You know, the devil has come down, according to Revelation 12:12, and he's having great wrath. He's angry because he knows he's got a short while, and he's trying to vomit up and do everything he can, and trying to get every demon to attack the Christians and the believers and those who are trying to do God's will. The devil's trying to just form plan A, and if plan A falls, he's got plan B already walking along. The devil's doing everything he can. And I found what the devil does more than anything else is try to cause one person, even in the body of Christ, to have an unforgiving spirit towards somebody else. One person in a family to have unforgiveness towards somebody else. You know, the Bible says if you got weak when you was walking on the plains where there was no underbrush with footmen, what will you do when the horsemen come and you have to get on into the wilderness where the underbrush is? What I'm telling you is that people have not gotten ready for the state spiritually this world has gotten in. Christians have said, well, I'm a Christian and I'm going to heaven. Let me watch the World Series tonight. I'm a Christian, I'm on my way to heaven. Let me go over here and watch this football game tonight. Watch this and that. But they never pick up the Bible. They never pray. They never fast. They never come into the camp meetings. And let me tell you something. They've gotten weak. They've gotten weak because they haven't taken the spiritual food. Wouldn't we be a sight? If I walked up to you and you shook my hand, you look at me and tell different about that. But if I said, "Hey, brother, I had breakfast last Sunday morning. I ain't had a chance to eat no more. I thought 3 o'clock would never make it today. We don't even want to miss 2 meals." But oh, spiritually, we just seem like we just become like an anemic. Scrawny. Not able to pull down the strongholds and bind the powers of darkness and see the power of God. But the purpose of these meetings that we're in now is for us to get strength to put the devil on the run. To pull down those strongholds and cast down those imaginations and see God's will be done. All right, let's forgive our debtors, our debts, as forgive our debtors and God can forgive us. Verse 14, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, read that with me, verse 15, the last part. Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now that's simple, isn't it? Let's turn to Matthew. I think it's about Matthew 16. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said that I'll build my church and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. Jesus said, I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. And then verse 20. I want to get on over some more. Let's get on over to let's get over chapter 18. Verse 18. That's where I wanted to read. It's where that whatsoever thou bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then verse 19. That's what we're looking for. Matthew 18:19 says, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. I'm just wondering if the devil tries to make not just two of us in agreement. I'm telling you tonight, something's missing in the body of Christ. You know, I've seen a lot. I've seen great meetings. I've seen the world conventions come together. And those thousands of people, if they're in agreement, seems like the devil should have been bound, huh? It seemed like 1,000 people should at least got saved that night, or millions of people, if 120 could see 3,000 reached on the first message. What's missing? I think something's missing. And you know where you start? You don't start pointing your finger. It starts with you. Where does it need to start? If you look in the mirror, you'll see where it needs to start. It needs to start with me. It needs to start with you. That we examine our hearts tonight and let the Holy Spirit uncover things that have been hid throughout ages, throughout our lifetimes. I've seen that in our ministry. But a lot of people will say, Brother Reggie, I've always had this problem. And they would say, I've had the big ones to pray for me, and they call their names. You know, the big ones. I mean, they drive way off, get the big ones to pray for them. You know who the big ones are? It seems like it's not Saul's that help, it's the David's. See, Saul won't kill that giant. David will. And this is the ministry of David here. We'd let the Lord begin to deal, and they would find out that through their lifetime, they had unforgiveness toward their mother, their daddy, their children, their husband, their wife, their uncles, their aunts. And you know, the devil has a way of camouflaging things that we don't know that they are there. I'm going to go on. I'm going to try to speed up a little bit. And Peter knew that for some reason something was missing, and I think he knew what it was, because when the Lord said, if just two are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. But isn't it strange that in verse 21, the very first thing that Peter asked is, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him until 7 times. So I believe Peter knew what the deal was. Here's Jesus saying, What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And if you ask anything in my name, I give it to you. And if two of you agree, there I am in the midst. And then Peter comes right back and say, Lord, how oft shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Shall I forgive him 7 times? You know, this is in one day. We think 7 times in a lifetime is plenty, don't we? Verse 23. Well, verse 22, Jesus said, I say unto thee not until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And according to my calculator, that's 490 times in one day. For the same thing. For that one sin. And no matter how many times our wives burn the biscuit, it starts over again new that you have to forgive her for burning the biscuits. And she burned the biscuits 490 times that day, you got to forgive her 490 times. And the Lord said, in verse 23, he gave a story, a situation. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I'm going to tell you what a talent is in gold. Some of you maybe have heard this when it was figured in silver or some other way. But the way I've got it figured, and figured in gold, one talent is $29,085. So 10 talents would be $290,850,000. So there was one brought unto the king which owed $290,850,000. That's quite a bit of money, isn't it? But far as much as he had not to pay this $290,850,000, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped the king, saying, Lord, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. I'm glad Jesus was moved with compassion and that Jesus forgave me of that $290,850,000 debt that I owe. I'm glad he did. But the Lord was moved with compassion toward that servant, loosed him and forgave him that debt. But that same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Now a pence, the way I got it figured, is 17 cents. 100 pence would be $17. So there was a man that was forgiven of $290,850,000. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. And the Lord says, you're forgiven. Go on your way. I'll remember it no more. You're pardoned. I tear that debt up. You don't owe that anymore. And we walk out of there. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I'm forgiven of $290,850,000. And here we go on down the road. We walk out of the church. We shut the door behind us. And then we say, hey, you owe me $17. You give me that $17. And he says, I don't have the $17 to give you. And we get upset at that person. I know none of you is guilty of this, but you know somebody that is. And so you can just pray for that person that is. And so he didn't have the $17. Look at verse 29. The fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Had the same prayer. But he would not. He went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, look at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto who? You. Why, oh you. If ye from your, what? Hearts, not your head. Hearts. Do what? Forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. See, the Lord forgave me of $290,850,000. And as I was in the ministry, as I was hurt, I would say, I forgive them, Lord. I forgive them. But you know, I was deceived. I really didn't forgive them. And then I wondered why come I had so many physical problems and why it seemed like everything was coming against me so hard. And I said, Lord, I don't understand. And the Lord gave me this message. You see, we need to make sure to not just say it with our mouth, but from our heart. Forgive our mother. Forgive our father. Forgive our husband. Forgive our wife. Forgive our children. And to my amazement, though some people were dead and I never knew it, I just did it. I said, Lord, I forgive my great-great-grandpa for being an Indian and for carrying that totem pole and worshiping images. And you know, I began to get set free of things, and I didn't have to have anybody to push on me and pull on me and shove and push and drag all night long for them things to come out of me. They was just ready to go. Because I cleared the underbrush as I forgave, those powers of darkness had no more wanting to stay there. See, they didn't want to stay there because they couldn't control me anymore. Because once you forgave, as Jesus has forgiven, they begin to be ready to go. You got to cast them out, but they're easier to cast out. Praise God. I found out something that when I stepped into deliverance, there were so many people that needed deliverance that they just filled my house up and they stole all my time, and I didn't have time to pray and fast like I should. And here we are, one of us will be pushing, other will be pulling, and they'll be trying to tear stuff up in the house, and we was carrying on and all this and that. But I found that if I would tell them to forgive, those demons will begin to cry out and say, you know, leave us alone. Don't torment us. They become ready. You know, some people don't want to get rid of their demons. They want to keep their little pet ones. But you know, Jesus is coming back for who? A church without spot or wrinkle. Some people like their wrinkles. You leave my unforgiveness alone. But yet we walk around. I'm holy. I'm so perfect. And then we walk out and we also think we got to sin a little, but it's because of that wrinkle there wanting to fulfill this wrinkleness. And this spot over here wants to fulfill its spots. And we just like a yo-yo. We up and down. I don't understand what's going on. I think we need to search our hearts tonight. Amen. And make sure we forgive. I forgave them. Well, you know, I told my wife. She says, do you think we need to do this? I said, it sure won't hurt. And we do it and it works. I'm just that way. If I see something in the Word of God, I do it. Amen. I don't have to have anybody to tell me. We just do it. Of course, we do it in secret in the prayer closet so other people won't see us. And then it works. We go out there and we shout it up on the housetop. But it works when you forgive everyone their trespasses. I'm telling you it works. Hallelujah. If that's all right for my brother here, I don't think you can be forgiven until you forgive. I just believe you have to forgive before you are forgiven. You're not forgiven until you forgive. That's what the scripture says. Hallelujah. So he said in verse 34, his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due to him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now I got the little Unger's Bible Dictionary out and also got the Encyclopedia Britannica out to find out what or who the tormentors were. The tormentors were these group of people who the Romans used if somebody got caught in a crime and they wouldn't tell the whole thing. If you don't tell the whole thing, you'll be delivered to the tormentors. The tormentors brought you to a little system called the rack system, which was a platform built with pulleys. And most of you know what a snatch block is and a crank. And they tie you up, put things on your ankles and on your hands, and they crank that thing and they stretch you all out of shape. Tell us what you did. I'll never tell. And then your hip jumps out of joint. And then you're all out of shape. You're being tormented. And you know, Christians are all out of shape. Their hips are out of joint. Their shoulders are out of joint. In fact, the joints become so far apart that the meat begins to tear. I found that when I would minister this, that people who were even on their deathbed with cancer would be instantly healed. And I wouldn't have to push and pull on the spirit of cancer. You know, the spirit of cancer is really a small demon. It's not that big. But unforgiveness is a monster. It's big. But once we forgive, then cancer would have to go. We got a doctor here, understand? But one of the surveys, and it was over in Germany, is where they found it, that the human body, as they studied cancer and arthritis, that in cancer patients and patients who have arthritis, there was a secretion or a fluid in the body that no other person who did not have cancer had, or arthritis. They kept studying that. They found, at least they claim, this is what I hear, that this German hospital and these doctors say that from their body is putting off this fluid, and it's causing something to grow inside of them called cancer, or either something else that's doing something to the joints called arthritis. The people who had cancer or arthritis were people who had something on the inside. They gave my mother up for dead in 19... What was it, about 82? About 1982. She had lung cancer. No hope for her. They gave her up for dead. Today, they are using her. She's not dead. Patient that only comes back to serve. But when they told me my mother was going to die, I said, Mother, I don't know everything, but I know you have been hurt, and I called some people's names. I said, Mother, forgive them. Forgive your children. See, her children had hurt her, especially one. And she just got back from Houston just a few weeks ago. Not a trace of cancer in her body.
Amen.
She forgave her children. And for some reason, she's not playing more. You see, when God created our human bodies, He made them so perfect. If you'll let me say it, these bodies are made so perfect, they worry they will tear themselves to pieces. Harbor unforgiveness, they will send themselves to an early grave. These bodies, every 7 years, renew themselves. Why are they in such bad shape? I tell you why. We worry, we fret, we carry things we shouldn't. If we would make an altar and say, Lord, I forgive those who have hurt me. And as the Holy Spirit reveals to you who they are, between you and God, you call their names out and say, Lord, I forgive. And call them out. John, Joe, Jack, Pam, Henry. Just forgive them from your heart. Do I have to go find them? You forgive them tonight from your heart. And later on, if you feel like you want to go find them, you go find them and tell them. Some people got so worried. This man hurt me so bad, but he's been dead. What do I do now? Just forgive him. Say, Lauren, he's dead, but I forgive him. And it works. I've been hurt by people who have died. And especially in the ministry, people who have hurt me so bad died. But yet, as God brought me back, you know, I was like James and John. I wanted fire to consume them, and something consumed them. But you had to forgive them, or you will live in misery the rest of your life. I think this is the reason most Christians look like they was baptized in lemon juice and weaned on a dill pickle. They're carrying things around on the inside of them they shouldn't. Oh, I want you to just know that the Lord is sweet. It takes 33 muscles to frown and 13 to smile. Let's give our face a break. Let's forgive those who have hurt us. And let's go on into the things of God and see miracles this weekend. And we can start tonight by a great release. I'm serious tonight. God can do something for you. I got a few scriptures. Proverbs 14 and 30. A sound heart is life of the flesh. And when I take a scripture, I ponder on that thing. I meditate on it. If Proverbs 14 and 30 says a sound heart is life of the flesh, what would a heart that's hollow be? Not sound. Not solid. And it also says envy rots the bones. So what I see in Proverbs 14 and 30, I can see the reason for cancer and arthritis. Boy, a lot of people don't understand, you know. They say, wait a minute, my uncle was the best person that ever lived and he died of cancer. Do you think God, he was a sinner, or what was wrong with him? I'm glad you brought that up. I tell you who has cancer. the best man or woman that ever lived. That's who has it. You deserve it. I don't know, what was it, Charisma magazine that had all those preachers that died in the last years of cancer? I'll tell you who has cancer, the best people. They are people who, when they get hurt, like a preacher, they would say, that's all right. They didn't know what they was doing. That's all right. They're quickly to say that's all right, but yet on the inside, that hurt, unforgiveness is there, and it builds up, and it finally erupts. Well, maybe you know somebody that maybe has forgiven everybody, even from their heart, and they still are dying with cancer. What's wrong with them? I just go ahead and cover the whole ground. I tell them to forgive everyone, living or dead. I also bring them through the scriptures on inherited curses. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in inherited curses. If you don't believe in inherited curses, you're not saved. Because the only way you can get saved, you got to acknowledge you are a sinner. And who sinned first? And how many years ago was that? 6,000 years ago. So, you know, we have to forgive. There was probably some forefathers. I know it was in my family that carried unforgiveness. A lot with the conflicts between the white man and the Indians, and between the white man and the black man, and all these racial problems, and even countries that are at each other, and the wars and rumors of wars, and the hurts and unforgiveness, and what's going on. We need to forgive from our heart. I remember Proverbs 14 and 30, a sound heart is life unto the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Now, you know, when I first learned about or got filled with the Holy Ghost, I guess I got every book I could on faith, you know, seven steps of faith and how to improve your faith. And then I see one, three steps. I say, I can read that and get it in a hurry. I get it. Boy, I wanted that faith. I wanted to move mountains. I wanted to see the dead raised, the blind eyes open, all this and that. You know, on good confessions. And I'm all for good confessions and I'm all for faith. But something's missing. Amen. Something's missing. And I'll tell you what it is. When I've seen God work miracles, I pray for ears that were deaf and they would unstop, for eyes and they would see. I never felt a thing and I didn't even think God would do it. That's faith. But yet I'd say, boy, you know, God's fixing to do it and I feel glory bumps and nothing would happen. You know, God's God and He just proves He's God and I don't know anything. But I do know if you do what the Word says, there will be results. But on the other hand, my wife can get up and tell you about my mother. I pick at her, the sweetest mother-in-law she has. She's a changing woman. You better believe it. I mean, on a deathbed in 1982 and now completely whole. All right, you'll say, well, how did she get healed? Did she have faith? I don't think any of us had faith. I'll be honest with you. I'm honest. Maybe we had a good confession. I know she doesn't. Because the whole time she says, let me see my grandsons before I die. We bring them over there. Let me see my grandchildren. Let me see you one more time. I wish y'all could build your house before I die. She had no faith. I mean, so negative. And the whole time, she was being healed because she forgave. And you know, an ant, those little red things that crawl on the ground and builds little heels, I don't know if they do it around here or not, sting her on the toe, and that thing would get red, and she'd say, cancer is coming back. I believe I got it again. But she don't have it. She's completely well. Amen. You know, a lot of people live in fear. Oh, I'm afraid I'm going to get AIDS. I'm afraid I'm going to get this disease or that disease. I believe if we walk in a state of forgiveness, we'll be like John C. Lake. Go get the epidermic. Put it on me and watch it die on the microscope. Go get it. We can walk in forgiveness as Jesus forgave. The Bible teaches us to forgive even as Jesus forgave. We need to forgive. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. What time's the bell ring? What time's the bell ring? I also found out you don't have to be religious for the Lord to be around. You know, I used to think you had to strain to get faith. You know, you have to be like a mustard seed. I've never seen a mustard seed go... You can stomp on it, you can step on it, but you let it get out there on the ground, it's going to grow up and be a mustard. It won't be anything but a mustard. Because it's in its heart to be a mustard. When Christians get it in their heart to have love, they're going to be it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Chapter 2, verse 10. Excuse me. Made my first mistake.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. Thank you. Listen to what Paul said in verse 10 of chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We'll even chew on that for a few weeks. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. Thank you, Lord. And verse 32. Let all bitterness of Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. That's amazing he put it in there. What is it? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, as I did a little study on bitterness in that scripture, I found that bitterness and snake venom is the same thing. Isn't that strange? And as a serpent would bite us and the poison would kill us, so would unforgiveness kill us if we don't get it out. Amen. That word bitterness is the same as snake venom. I kind of like old Derek Prince. He was one of the first ones I listened to that was like me, that lost his mind and now has the mind of Christ. But Derek, as he was on the field during a war, and the bombs would blow up, and the people would be wounded, and the doctors would be out there, could not handle all the people that were wounded. Derek said he looked over there and saw how those doctors sprayed a little bit of this and rubbed a little bit of that on that bleeding cut place, and then they would wrap gauze around it and tape. But Derek missed something important. But what he did, he got his spray, and he got his salve, and got his gauze, and he found somebody with their arm bleeding, and he rubbed it, cleaned it, put the salve on it, and wrapped it up. And the doctor yelled and says, Derek, you're killing him. And Derek says, what do you mean I'm killing him? And the doctor says, if you don't get what made that cut, it's going to kill him. Threw him a knife. Says, get it out. You have to operate and get that what made the cut out. Get the shrapnel out. And that's what a lot of Christians have done. And that's what a lot of our denominations have done. They have been carrying boxes of Band-Aids around. Put a Band-Aid on, brother. Put a Band-Aid on. Everything will be all right. Oh, a Band-Aid to heal that marriage. You know, Band-Aided themselves out. Band-Aid, Band-Aid, Band-Aid. Band-Aids stick on them. All these Band-Aids. But yet, they're covering up what's hurting them, what's destroying them. The poison's in there. The shrapnel's in there. And we need to get it out. If you're having problems, it's for a reason. God wants you to get out that thing that's cut you, that's hurt you. Covering it up with a fancy Band-Aid with Mickey Mouse on it won't work. Though my children love those Band-Aids, you can buy them a box of Band-Aids and they would like it better than a $1,000 motorcycle. But you know, the church is the same way. They'd rather for you to give them a box of Mickey Mouse Band-Aids and go on and let them suffer than to tell them the truth. I'm telling you the truth tonight. We need to get out what made the wound. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any. Read the last part with me. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. How did Jesus forgive us? A woman told me once, I don't have to forgive that man. He's not a Christian. But aren't you glad that Jesus, as the nails was being nailed in his hands and feet, didn't say, I'm not going to forgive them for they're not Christians. Or, I'll forgive the Jews, but I'm not going to forgive the Gentiles. You know, as they drove those nails in his hands and his feet, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he feels pain. He felt it as you and I would feel it. And it was a pain that, how did he do it? How did he bear it? But he bore it for you and I. Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. How many people have fallen of the grace of God? Why did they fall? Lest a root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby you may be defiled. Even as Esau, who sold his birthright, you know, for one little bowl of red beans and rice, ever what it was. Why? I mean, all of a sudden the devil says, okay, Esau, sell your birthright and lose everything. No, the devil was there the whole time. I mean, the devil didn't just come by and say, okay, Esau, do it. The devil was there with a root of bitterness in Esau and caused him with that root that he would be defiled. And the same thing happens with Christians now. If they don't get that root of bitterness out, they will be defiled. It says like this. I was born with a root of bitterness in me. I inherited bitterness. I was taught to be bitter. I was taught to hate. I was taught to fight. I was taught that if they hit you and they was bigger than you, get something bigger and hit them back. I was raised that way. I was full of hate. And I hated everybody. I was born with that bitterness. And as it grew, it was possessing me even more so. But when the Lord delivered me, He turned that hatred into love. Those that are forgiven the most love the most. I was set free of that thing. And I was a Christian years before I found out how to be free from that thing that's now become a tree. See, it starts off as a little root that you cannot see. And then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger until it even begins to control you more so than ever before. Not just every now and then. You know, some people's got anger. And you know, they can control it until somebody crosses them, even in church. And then their ears turn red. And then, oh, boy. Man, I know some preachers, boy, they got a spirit of anger and stand right behind the pulpit. Root of bitterness. And boy, they butcher people to them. Their congregation. That thing's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They're being destroyed. Lest they be defiled. See, that thing start off as a little root, and then it'll grow up into a tree. But you've got to get it out. Get that unforgiveness out. It's going to grow and get bigger and bigger. So big that the devil can completely pull you away from even grace with that thing as a handle to pull you down. But we need to forgive. I'm going to get on. I know my wife only could sit on this side of the church. Is that right? Yeah. But now she's sitting on this side of the church. It ain't what you think. See, when she sat on this side, Brother Glenn, she couldn't see the preacher because her head would only do this. She could do like this, but it'd come to here and it'd stop. You know, but she was over there. But now she can look the other way. Wonder what happened. As we was praying one night, Lord, why does she have arthritis in her neck? And the Lord gave us the name of a person by the name of Danny. And I said, who is Danny? And she says, Danny is my first cousin. And how old was you? 15 years old when Danny and my brother, she said, got into a fight in the living room floor. And I said, Danny, y'all don't fight. Well, Danny picked her up by her feet and jabbed her into the floor. And she had to wear a neck brace for years. And her neck never got over that. But you learn to live with some things, unfortunately, we do. But even after she got saved, her neck still was stiff. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. You know, gradually, that's the way the devil operates. You'll have a little bit of an ache, but you don't know where that ache come from. And then years later, maybe 10, 15 years later, it will be even more so, but you forget where it's come from. But she forgave Danny that night, and her head instantly moves both ways now. Instantly. Our insurance salesman would always come to our house, Ivy Bennett. He's big in the full gospel people, with a full gospel businessman that used to be in Natchez. But he would always come to our house without his wife, and he would want special prayer for his wife because she has cancer so bad, and she even had to go to Riverside, which is an insane asylum because of her, you know, the oppression and the greatness, the tragedy of it. We would pray. But then I would say, you know, let's do more and pray. Try to bring her. He brought her and set her in our living room. And we didn't have no pushing and pulling and shoving and knocking holes in the wall, though sometimes that happens. And I'm not being critical about it, though sometimes it happens. But it was simple like this.
I said, Miss Geneva, has anybody ever hurt you? The first thing she said was no. Then she began to cry and says, yes, I had worked for years at the Chrysler Dodge place in Natchez for so many dollars a week. And then they hired this new lady for more money than I was being paid, and I had to train her. And that hurt me. But I forgot about it. And I didn't even tie this in with me getting cancer. I led her in a prayer. She forgave her ex-boss from years back. And it didn't take months. The very next week. Now understand, this woman couldn't function. She was on everything. From mentally to physically, cancer to insane. She went shopping for the first time in years and bought a microwave and cooked her first meal. And she came to visit us. Instead of us praying for her, she prayed for us. We needed some prayer that night. And what, she prayed for you, anointed you with oil. God instantly healed you, whatever what it was that night. That's what I'm talking about. She forgave. And I believe tonight if we would forgive, it would make it a lot easier to get rid of those spirits that are tormenting you. I'm serious. I don't mind praying all night. But it does get aggravating to me when I know the person I'm praying for is not really sincere. And the demons begin to talk and laugh, and I don't like nobody laughing at me. Especially when I'm tired and hungry. Sometimes I almost get in the flesh. But I've learned the hard way. If that person would forgive, then I can be happy and rejoice because the demons come out much easier. And deliverance is much easier and quicker. And it's permanent. See, what I hate is when I go all night long and pray for somebody and the next time I see them, they're seven times worse. Boy. And they're a disgrace to the deliverance ministry because here they are saying, I went over there to Brother Reg's church and they prayed for me and I'm delivered. I used to smoke one pack of cigarettes a day. Now I smoke seven. But I'm delivered. Man. Seven times worse. A disgrace. No wonder people don't believe in it. Man. I would be afraid of it myself if that's what it was about. But it's not what it's about. Let's forgive from our hearts tonight everyone who had hurt us. And I'm fixing to wrap this thing up. But I was doing a study. I like Daniel. But you know, Daniel was thrown into a lion's den. And early the next morning, the king got up and said, Daniel, you're still alive. Daniel says, still here, O king. But if you'll have your next Bible study, you find out why this happened. Daniel said, I'm still here because the Lord has sent his angel, single, and shut the mouths of those lions. Now, my little method, the Sunday school teacher told me when I was 6 years old that for some reason the lions weren't hungry that day. You know, I had an idea, you know, my little Sunday school lesson, it was two lions in that thing. But let me tell you, the Bible says there was 120 plus women and children. They had more than one wife and more than one children in them days. You know, most every one of them act like Catholics. I mean, they had a number of them. And they threw them in that hole, and the Bible says those lions ate those people before they even hit the bottom. So it was more than we thought. Enough lions to eat. I figured it out one time, and it was close to 300 people, just me guessing, you know. But we know it was over 120. But Daniel says, I'm still here because intimacy is in my heart between me and God and between you and I, O king. I never saw that before. See, Daniel forgave them for throwing him in the lion's den. That's the reason the lions didn't eat him. Now, most of the Christians today, Brother Glenn, would have been eaten up. They would have went on to heaven, maybe. I hope. But yet, it's a scary thing. Because if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. That kind of makes me concerned. That's the reason the way is straight and narrow and few find it. And many will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied and cast out demons in your name. And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Maybe you didn't forgive. This is serious. Serious. I believe it's more preachers in hell than it is in heaven today. I'm serious. The way is straight and narrow. We need to forgive. Well, you say, well, I need to forgive so I can get well. Well, you need to forgive so you can be sure you make it to heaven.
That's the main thing. Serve God with all your heart, and God will take care of the rest. And the same way with three Hebrew children, you know, they forgave the king for throwing them in the fiery furnace. And then old Stephen preached one sermon, bless his heart. He was a deacon. That was good. You called me a deacon yesterday. It made me feel good. But old Stephen was a deacon, and he preached one sermon, bless his heart. They stopped their ears up and ran up on him and bit him. Don't preach like that no more. And a man named Saul held the clothes, says, kill him. But as they was killing him, stoning him, he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. And he said, Stephen says, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And they saw his face as an angel, because he forgave as Jesus forgave. Stephen then preached but one sermon. But a man named Saul that held those clothes took letters on his way to Damascus, was going to have some more killed. And something kept tugging at his heart, and directly that light shine from heaven knocked him off his donkey. He fell on the ground. Nobody had to say it was the Lord. He knew who it was, because he saw Stephen die with forgiveness in his heart. He says, what is it, Lord? Stephen preached one sermon, but yet I read his sermon in every writing that God wrote through Paul because of forgiveness. That man wrote through Paul with forgiveness. That's forgiveness. Praise God. We might say, all right, Lord, I forgive old Uncle Joe. Now I pray and be saved, but tie a rope around his neck and on his way to the altar, just bump his head on a few pews. That's not forgiveness. That's the reason we don't see a move of God. We got to forgive and we got to let him go. Will you do that tonight? Praise God. I'm through. Let's stand and... oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's have us a song of... like an altar call song. Let's have a worship. And then with your mind on the Lord, we're going to make an altar somewhere this night. Maybe you want to make it where you're sitting, or you want to come on up here and kneel and pray. But to start with, I want every one of you to say, Lord, deal with my heart tonight. Let's say, Lord, show me tonight all unforgiveness in my heart. I want all unforgiveness out. I forgive this night everyone who has hurt me. I forgive them, whether they're living or dead. I forgive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me this night for harboring that unforgiveness. I command unforgiveness to leave me now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to pray that the Lord will just begin to speak to you by the Holy Spirit. Father, by the Spirit of the living God, deal with each one of us. And if we have people in our hearts that we still have unforgiveness toward, God, bring their names to us. And as you bring their names to us, we will call their names out between you and I, Lord. And we will forgive them in Jesus' name. Praise God. As we sing, you do that. And let God say, God, show me if there's anyone I have unforgiveness toward. In Jesus' name. Thank you. as people have forgiven, I've seen knots that they said was cancer just disappear just like that. As we pray and as people forgave, tumors just go just like that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. And if you want us, as you forgive, if you want us to join with you, we want to join with you in prayer. If you got something we need to pray with you with, some hurt, some rejection, bitterness that you need us to take authority with you over, we'll do it. If you've got a physical problem, we give God all the glory as He touches you tonight. You come on and we'll pray with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I break every inherited curse, even all the way back to Adam and Eve, of all spinal injuries and curses on the spine. I come against this spirit of a python that's wrapped around her spine right now, and I command that thing to unwrap and come out of her spine right now. Come on out of there. Python, viper is next to it. Come on out, you spirit of viper. And I command this spine to be mended together and that gap is missing. Father, I ask you to send a ministering angel right now. And healing, I command that spine to join back together. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command the spine to grow back together right there in that piece where it's missing. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command it whole in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to just pray with me and say, Father, I forgive all who have ever hurt me. I forgive my forefathers. And I break every curse off of me. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for restoring me. In Jesus' name. Father, as she's prayed, forgave all the forefathers, we take authority over that spirit wrapped around her spine. I command it to unwrap every bit of it. And I command that spine well tonight in Jesus' name. Come on out of that infirmity out of her body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the healing. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I want you to give us a report on this, you know, as the time goes on. And tell us about it. I believe that it's going to be every day better. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Are you forgiven? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this child of yours and that she has forgiven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against this tormenting spirit that's put within her. Infirmity, I break that curse. In Jesus' name, I command that infirmity to lose her body and I command her whole. I break every inherited curse off of her. From generations, even from the idol worship of the forefathers, we forgive the forefathers. In Jesus' name. I want you to pray that. Say, Father, I forgive all my forefathers for all the idol worship and all the sins. I forgive them. I loose them. Father, loose me now. I forgive those who have hurt me. In Jesus' name, I forgive them. In Jesus' name. Command all infirmity out of her body. Come on out in Jesus' name. All rejection, bitterness, and hurt. You come out of that hurt. Unforgiveness out. In Jesus' name. And command her body well this night. In Jesus' name. Father, send ministering angels to minister to her right now. Lord, we just loose healing. We loose healing. Command her whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know where it is, but as you forgive, I know from your heart you have, but I'm going to command that tumor to leave, where that thing is, the tumor, in Jesus' name, I command that tumor to loose her brain right now,
that's been up on her to oppress her, and command that spirit of an octopus that's tormenting her and oppressing her to loose her. And I command her whole. I command every infirmity out of her body, every bit of it, all tumors and daughters out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all hurts and rejection, stomach disorder out in Jesus' name. Command her whole. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God in Jesus' name. Oh, meeting at 6 in the morning, breakfast at 8.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.